and August that this was a season of preparation that the Holy Spirit was about to, that the Lord, beginning in August, was going to release an increase of the movement of the Holy Spirit upon those places that are praying and really crying out. So I'm taking that word for OHOP here. And that's one of the reasons why we're teaching and what we're teaching on Friday nights. And I have a class on Wednesday nights as well that I am teaching primarily, and just the person work and the ministry and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we're doing that class on Wednesday night on the person work, ministry, and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And on Friday night, we're just basically teaching on keys to healing and miracles. And because I really believe that it doesn't matter to me how many people come to the class. I mean, you know, in our last class, we had about 30 people. In this class, we only got 4 or 5. I don't care. I just want to get the word out because I really believe the Lord is about to do something. And so I want to challenge you to really begin to cry out to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, make me a vessel that you're going to use. Fill this vessel. And ask Him to prepare you, because I really believe that we're in a very unique prophetic season for our land. Many of these prophetic voices, well-respected prophetic prophets and prophetesses, are saying that America is on the verge of another great awakening. And, you know, I believe that. I really do. I'm really believing the Lord is going to break out supernaturally in ways that are unheard of. And a good sign is that many people overseas are praying for America because they see the condition of our nation. We have some very fired up Asian believers in China and in South Korea that are really crying out for America. They're fasting for America. So I'm telling you, we're in a good season right now to seek the Lord, to go dig deep, and to press on and contend for God to move. So let's take our notes if we can. I said all that to say that this Sunday morning, I'm going to bring a message on the fullness of the Holy Spirit and what that means for us and how we can contend. I want to actually go over keys to contend for the fullness of the Holy Spirit Sunday morning. When I taught this past Sunday, I was just stunned by the response and what the Lord did. And I'm not saying the Lord's going to move that way by any means this coming Sunday, but I do believe the Lord wants me to share that this coming Sunday, so 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Father, we just thank you for our time together. Holy Spirit, we just say we're hungry for you. In this next hour or so, Holy Spirit, we just pray, release to us a spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Holy Spirit, even myself, I'm asking, Lord God, for greater understanding in the area of the miraculous, signs and wonders. We desire to be used of you, Lord. Lord, your Spirit, your anointing is not meant to be held in the four walls of a building, Lord. Father, it's meant to be released. We are your signs and your wonders. We are your miracle workers. Father, as we are learning, Lord, these divine keys, I pray you use us. Use us as vessels of healing and as vessels of salvation and vessels to bring deliverance. Grip our hearts, we pray, God. Lord, release your anointing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Take your notes out if you will. If you don't have notes, raise your hands and we'll be glad to get you. Anyone not have notes at all? If you don't have notes, just raise your hand real high. We have about 3 or 4 of them that don't have notes. All right? Just keep your hands up until Rick gets to you and gets those notes to you. Okay, so we're going to discuss tonight the power of the name of Jesus. And, you know, I want to be able to just show you, you know, my goal, and you should have received also another biography of another healing evangelist. Is that correct? Okay, good. My goal on these Friday nights is to release some insights and some keys that will help us to be stirred in faith and to release what God has given to us. And so, and one of these keys is understanding the power of the name of Jesus. I think so many of us, we pray, oh yes, in Jesus' name. We don't realize what we're saying, or we don't realize the power that's invested in the name of the Lord. So let's look at our introduction. The notes, the name of Jesus is all that we need in order to receive all the benefits that God has made available to us in the work of redemption from the power of sin. We are exhorted throughout Scripture of our need to know all the spiritual inheritance, to know all that our spiritual inheritance in Christ has afforded us through faith. Our salvation from Satan's reign began by accepting in faith all that Christ has made available to us and must be maintained throughout our salvation journey by faith, by the faith of God that is provided to us through His Word. One of the things we're going to see over and over again, as I shared, even I touched on a little bit 2 weeks ago when I last taught, is that much of what we receive has to do primarily with our faith. And in other words, we're going to have to take ownership for the areas in our lives where we have very little victory in, or in the areas of our lives that we're being overcome by. We've got to take ownership and admit there's a lack of faith in my life in this area. If I'm struggling in this area, if I'm constantly battling in this area, you know, it's either the word of the, it's either God's fault or it's our fault. And so we're going to see week after week after week that our faith is a major factor in receiving everything that God has made available to us, and the very reason why many of us are not walking in the fullness of all that God has given to us and freely made available to each and every one of us. Many are enjoying some of the benefits that the blood of Jesus has purchased for us, while at the same time they're not fully embracing all that Christ has given to us through His death and resurrection. In other words, those, for example, Jesus died to bring us freedom, but if we're struggling constantly with depression, something's wrong. Either Jesus is Lord over depression or He's not. If we're struggling with always chronic sickness, we're always getting sick, we've got to understand that Christ has given us authority, that in even through the power, even in the work of redemption, healing was provided for us. And we showed you that 2 weeks ago when we taught on that. But we have to understand that everything has been provided for us already. We simply have to embrace it by faith through the blood of Jesus. All that God has promised us can only be received by faith. And that faith must be solely placed on the man, Christ Jesus, and in a power that His name has been given by heaven's authority. Let's look at our notes. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Notice that? That's past tense. Who has blessed us. That's a promise. That's a work that's already been completed and already been done. It says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So we've got to find out and ask ourselves, what are the spiritual blessings that God has already blessed us with? What are those blessings? You know, the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So if we don't understand, if we don't know what Christ has blessed us with, then we cannot place our faith in that to claim it. See, faith has something, faith needs something to grab, to place a demand on. And if we don't know what our inheritance is, our spiritual inheritance is, then we can't by faith claim it. And if we can't, if we don't claim it by faith, you'll never walk in it. You won't receive it. And so we've got to study. Study what the spiritual blessings are. Find out what the Word of God says about blessings. Look it up in Scripture. But it is clear that God has blessed us through Christ with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How do we get these blessings? So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. We've got to have knowledge of what these blessings are in order for us to claim them, profess them, confess them, declare them, and claim and decree them into existence. I love what Hebrews 11 verse 6 says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So I think that faith is very important. If we can't please God without faith, then we need to build our faith. It's clear in Hebrews chapter 10, the Lord says that if we draw back, He's not pleased. He's not pleased with those who draw back. In other words, those who don't exercise their faith. And so it's clear here that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Watch this. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So what do we have to seek Him for? We seek Him for the things that rightly belong to us. And I'm going to give you some examples in Scripture of people who had to contend for what was already theirs. It was already theirs. But they had no clue how to possess it because they had no faith. And I fear that there are many in the church, in the body of Christ, that, you know, are continuously battling with, whether it's sickness, whether it's oppression, whether it's, you know, fear, whether it's always stressed and always anxious. You know, these are symptoms that we have a right to live in victory over. And we've got to learn to contend until we get a breakthrough in each of these areas. Because the Bible promises there in Hebrews 11:6, He is a rewarder. You know what that word means? It means that He is one that will pay. He will pay for services rendered. That's what it means. Our faith will pay for services rendered. In other words, when we seek God in faith and we stand in faith and we claim what's rightfully ours, God sees that as services rendered. And therefore, He is bound by His own word and by His own law to meet what we're claiming and standing in faith for, and He'll reward us with that very thing. Can someone say amen? So we've got to believe. We either believe that He rewards us or He doesn't. But the Bible is clear that He rewards us for those who diligently seek Him. So that means to diligently seek Him means there's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some forces that do not want us to walk into this level of faith so that we can be rewarded with spiritual blessings. So it's key to understand, without faith, it's absolutely, I mean, Paul makes it clear here, you cannot please God if you don't operate and live in faith. We must stir our faith and seek God for what is rightfully ours. Point number one, all the benefits of salvation come solely through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was the name that was given and decreed by the angel Gabriel. And of course, it came through the decree of God the Father. And we've got to see and understand. So we're going to see here tonight how through the name of Jesus, when we truly understand what His name stands for, what His name means, and how we can apply the name of Jesus and invoke the name of Jesus, we have every right to receive all of heaven's blessings, because that name was not decreed by man. It was decreed by heaven. And so Jesus' name was given because it was the will of God. It was the will of heaven. Let's look down, if you will, at point number one there, A1. Names gave definitions to one's identity, to their calling and mission in life. When you study names and throughout Scripture, you will see that the names usually depicted a person's mission in life, the prophetic calling, and their purpose. So in Jesus' case, there in Matthew 1:21, your notes, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." It is clear that we see that through his name, there's a connection of saving people from their sins. Now turn the page over. Look what it says there in your notes, Proverbs 18, verse 20. It says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." You see that? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now watch this. "And the righteous run to it, and they are safe." In other words, you know, if we would truly, you know that you can study the names of God, and that the name of Jesus, encompasses all the different names of Jehovah. Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals us. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord our glory. Jehovah Titzkenu and Jehovah Mikadesh, Jehovah our righteousness and sanctification. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Nissi, our victory, our banner. These are all names of God that describe what He does for His people. But did you know that the name of Jesus is equivalent to all those names put together? The name of Jesus is healing. The name of Jesus is deliverance. The name of Jesus is glory. The name of Jesus is sanctification. The name of Jesus is righteousness. The name of Jesus is provision. All of the names of God are under an equivalent to the name of Jesus. Because I'm going to give you the definition according to the Greek and the Hebrew of the name of Jesus. But Proverbs 18:10 says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now watch this. The righteous, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, whether you're watching by the internet or you're here tonight, if you claim to have faith in Jesus, then according to God's word, you're righteous. And as a righteous son and daughter of God, we have a right to claim the safety of the name of Jesus as a strong tower in our lives. And there's so many in the church today, they're righteous, but they're not walking in the fullness of their rightful inheritance. Let me give you an example. Go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Oh, this is good. We're recording this, right? Make sure. Because this is good stuff, and I'm getting blessed by it. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. I want you to see an example. What we're about to read is very typical of many believers in different areas of their lives. Matthew 15, verse 22. Now, let me just say this. You know, I am not saying that if we go through difficulty, if we get opposed by the enemy, that we're not living in victory or we don't have faith. Because I understand that there's a place where Satan is going to resist us. I understand that the enemy is going to throw sickness on you and try to place this on you. I understand that. You know, and so there's a fight at times. There's a resistance. But what I'm trying to say is keep fighting until you get a breakthrough. You keep claiming until you get your breakthrough. Don't settle. Don't lose or give up ground to the enemy simply because there's resistance or there seems to be a lack of a breakthrough. You keep pressing it in faith and we will have a breakthrough. Now, Matthew chapter 15, look if you will with me at verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and he departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and she cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is severely possessed by a demon. But he answered her not a word. In other words, Jesus ignored her. And his disciples urged him, saying, tell her to get out of here. Send her away. But she keeps crying out to us. But Jesus answered and said, I was not sent to the lost sheep. Excuse me. I was sent except only to the people of the sheep of the house of Israel. But then she came and she worshipped him. And she said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, now listen to this. Look at verse 26. This is so critical for you and I. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And then she says, that's true, Lord. But even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now watch this. Here's a picture. The picture is, this woman was a Syrophoenician woman. She was not an Israelite. And Jesus first came primarily to bring salvation to the Jews. And the plan of God, Jesus wanted her delivered. But he needed to be faithful to the call of God first, which was to the house of Israel. And then he knew that eventually her daughter would get delivered through the Jews taking the gospel. So it wasn't like he was saying, no, you're not meant to be free or delivered. I've got to deliver rightfully first what's to my kids, to the household of Abraham. They're the ones that get it first. You're going to have to wait a little bit before you get your deliverance. But Jesus can never turn someone down who comes in faith. He can never turn somebody down that comes in faith. And she goes, you know what, that's true, Lord. I know that the bread of healing and deliverance is first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. But you know what? Sometimes they're sloppy with the bread and they're careless and they let it fall to the ground. I'll even take what falls to the ground that they're careless with. And Jesus says, oh, great is your faith, woman. And the result was the daughter gets completely set free. Look what Jesus says. Jesus says in verse 28, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. My point here is this. If Jesus is willing to meet a woman who was outside of the covenant because she approached him in faith, something that did not belong to her, but belonged to the children. The inheritance belonged to the children. If Jesus was willing to give it to her because of her faith, how much more will he give it to the children who are part of the inheritance? How much more, church? Let me give you another example. Go to Luke chapter 13. Luke in chapter 13. I pray your faith gets stirred. I pray that you look at your circumstances. I pray that you look at your family circumstance. I pray you look at your co-worker circumstance. And you know what? And instead of just saying, oh, you know, that's too bad, you're going through that, that you would stand in the gap for them and begin to decree and begin to demand that the powers of darkness would begin to loose their grip over them and begin to see a breakthrough. It's possible. It really, really is. Because in a couple, in, you know, I'm going to throw in the teaching of how fasting brings forth breakthrough in the coming weeks. Look at Luke 13. Look at verse number 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and she could not straighten herself up. Verse 12. When Jesus saw her, he called her to himself. He said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Now, there was a big argument about why he did that, because he did it on the Sabbath. So they argued back and forth. And look what Jesus says in verse number 16. Jesus says, should not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond, even though it's on the Sabbath day? What I'm trying to say here is Jesus says, this woman is a daughter of Abraham. She should not be bound by a demonic stronghold. That's my point, is that he's recognizing, should not this woman, being a daughter, she has a right to the bread. Should she not be loosed, whom Satan has bound? Think of it, for 18 years. Should she not be loosed on the Sabbath? You know that when Jesus died and rose again, that was your Sabbath. Your rest. We don't have to strive anymore. We don't have to contend anymore. See, the Jews, they practice a weekly Sabbath. Jesus offers us an eternal Sabbath. Sabbath is a day of rest. It's a day of freedom. A day of no striving. A day of resting. Resting in our inner man. Church, I'm telling you, we have to measure up with our faith. We need to grow in our faith, and we need to demand that Satan loose us. When God encountered Moses in Exodus chapter 3, what was his purpose in encountering him? He says, Moses, I'm sending you back to Egypt. You go tell that devil, Pharaoh. This is my version. You go tell the devil, he's bound my children long enough, and tell him, let my people go. What was the purpose of Moses going into Egypt? To free the people of Israel from bondage. That was the purpose. To bring freedom. How much more do we have a right to be freed if we put our faith in Jesus Christ? Amen? Come on, someone say amen. This is a travesty that so many in the church are bound. We put our faith in the deliverer and yet we're bound. Because we don't understand the power of the name of the Lord. It is a strong tower. And those who run to the name of the Lord according to God's word, we are safe. We're safe, church. The name of the Lord is a place of refuge. Now let's look back at our notes. Number two there. Jesus is the English form of the Greek name Lesus, which is the Greek form of the Aramaic name Yeshua. Yeshua is the Aramaic form of the Hebrew name Yehoshua. And Yehoshua in English is either Joshua or Jesus. Now watch this. Jesus in the Greek means God is salvation. Joshua in the Hebrew means Yahweh is salvation. So, if you do your study on the name of Jesus and if you do the study on the name of Christ, here's what you get. Jesus is identified as Christ. What? They call him Jesus
Christ. So we have Jesus, the Savior, salvation, and Christ. What does Christ mean? In the Greek, Christos, it means Christ, the Anointed One. In the Hebrew, the anointing is Mashiach, which means the Messiah, the Anointed One. Therefore, Jesus Christ is this. Jesus Christ, the Anointed Messiah, or the Anointed Savior. That's who we put our faith in. Our faith is not in just some name, Jesus. Our faith is in the name of Jesus, the Anointed Savior, or Jesus, the Anointed Messiah. And the Messiah for the Jewish people is the one that's going to bring ultimate deliverance and freedom. Well, church, He's our deliverer. He's our healer. He's our Savior. We have a right to put our to claim everything that the name of Jesus stands for. Point B, the prophecy was in Matthew 1:21 at the first page, we read that earlier, was that He will save His people from their sins. That was a prophecy. The angel came and spoke to Mary and says, "You shall call His name Jesus because He's going to save His people from their sins." Well, what does the word save there mean in the Greek? Look, let's look it up. He will save His people from their sins. The Greek word for save is sozo. Now watch this. This is powerful. Sozo means this: to save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, and make whole. Either that's true or not. That's salvation. Salvation. I mean, salvation. What joy do we have in the name of Jesus? Of course, the ultimate salvation is salvation of our sins. But what joy is it going through life if the salvation plan did not include deliverance? Or if the salvation plan did not include healing? What joy is that? What example is that to the unbeliever? But I'm telling you, I believe the Holy Ghost is once again highlighting the power of the name of Jesus, and He's highlighting our rightful inheritance. I mean, I was discipled, if I can say it, at a distance, you know, through books and through cassette tape. They didn't have CDs back then, from Kenneth Hagin's ministry, from Rhema. And Papa Hagin, I mean, his teachings on faith, his teachings on the anointing and the Holy Spirit, he was like a well-balanced, Spirit-filled prophet, apostle. I mean, he had just about all the gifts. It was amazing that this man was such a well-rounded, anointed servant of the Lord. But his teachings provoked me as a young Christian. From day one, his teaching on tithing wrecked my life. I've been a faithful tither since 1981. Why? Because I saw it in the Word. He was a phenomenal teacher. Part of his teaching was understanding the power of the anointing, understanding your inheritance, and claiming it by faith. But also his powerful teaching on spiritual warfare, how to fight, resist, and contend against darkness to claim what is rightfully yours. There's so many in the church that have very little understanding to the finished work of the cross and the work of salvation. Sozo, salvation, has bought everything for us. We don't have to live depressed. We don't have to live, you know, heavy and downtrodden and, you know, our heads hanging down, going through the motions. No, we have a right. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible says. The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. Is depression bondage? Sickness bondage? Fear bondage? Unbelief bondage? Unforgiveness bondage? The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. That's what Isaiah says. And so therefore, we've got to own up and confess. Yes, Lord, I have bondage in my life. Yes, Lord, I battle with depression in my life. Yes, Lord, I tolerate this in my life. And we've got to contend and break it and resist it. And we can, because Jesus says, "All authority has been given unto me, and now I give it to you. Go into all the earth." We've got the authority. It's all in the name of Jesus.
The Apostle Peter makes that so very clear. Point C. Apostle Peter clearly reveals that the name of Jesus does not only save people from their sins, but also heals. It heals them from the effects of sin, both in our soul and also in our body. Look at your notes. Acts 3:6. This is all about the name of Jesus. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." Look at, listen to the boldness. I got something you need. This is a key reason why there's many around us that go living in bondage. It's because they don't realize what they got. But Peter says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you." In other words, I'm going to give you the authority of the anointing at the time of my life. Thanks. I'm going to give you the authority of the Word of God. I'm going to give you the authority of the Holy Spirit. He goes, he says, "But what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Let me ask you a question. Have you ever dreamed of being used that way? No, seriously, have you? Have you even dreamed and says, "Oh God, I want that"? Now, are we measuring up that desire with contending faith? Or is it just a desire, a statement? Or is it something that we're willing to go after? Are we willing to fast over? Are we willing to do spiritual warfare over? Think about that. I mean, this is something that you have a right to walk in. That we have a right to speak to people. They may tell you, "Oh, I'm so broke" and everything. And then you can say, "You know what, I can't help you financially, but I can help you with something else. I got the authority of the name of Jesus." We can claim it. We can believe for a breakthrough. I'm telling you, Monday night, we had a service, and I was teaching on the Holy Spirit, teaching on how the Spirit of God is anointing the church to seek Him. And I haven't seen such wailing in I don't know how many years, in several years. The response of the people, they wailed and they travailed. And we waited on the Lord for, I can't even tell you for how long. Just the declarations that came forth, and the people were weeping and travailing and repenting. And we were receiving touches of God, and some were getting healed. I mean, and the beautiful thing was, it was the presence of the Lord doing it. It was nobody really laying hands on anybody. We just sat there in awe. We were shocked as this presence just came into the building. My hands were like electric. They were electrified. I was like, "Lord, what? This is your power. What do you want me to do?" It was glorious. I am telling you, the Lord is doing this over and over, and He's looking for vessels that will be conduits to release the power of God. He wants to use you. You are the anointed of the Lord. I was teaching this past Tuesday night that we, Monday night and Tuesday, we are the temple, the house of the Holy Ghost. We're the house of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to go very far to talk to Him. We don't have to search to hear His voice. We don't have to struggle to figure out direction in life. One of the main reasons why we're directionless, or we have lack of direction, is because we're not content with the counsel He's given us. And we're not satisfied with His yes for the moment. This is what I have for you right now. We're not satisfied. We're not content with it. But if we would learn to embrace every phase of our lives, if we would learn, every difficulty and every opposition that we face is meant to be enjoyed, to encounter the joy of the Lord in that place that you're in. So you can encounter a breakthrough and your faith will be stirred. But so many of us, the Lord has us in desert going in circles because we have not yet learned to embrace and to rejoice in the midst of the hardship. And here's a word for you from the Lord. I will not let you get out of your wilderness until you learn to rejoice in it. That's what the Lord is saying. I will not let you get out of your wilderness until you learn to rejoice in it. Because in it, you're going to find the strength of God. You're going to find the faithfulness of God in your wilderness. Why do we need to love if there's, why would we need to love if there's no unlovely people? Why do we need to forgive if there's not going to be people that are going to hurt us and offend us? How can we grow in patience if our faith is not tested? How can we prove God's faithfulness until we see our faith proven and God break through? We need to learn to rejoice in the midst of the resistance. That's where the victory's at, church. You need to look at, that's what the Bible says, in everything. Hello? En todo. De gracias. En todo, dice Señor. In everything, give thanks. That's not me. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In everything, give thanks. When you're bummed out, give thanks. When you're lacking, give thanks. Don't give thanks for the lack. Give thanks in it. There's a difference. Don't give thanks for the oppression and the resistance. Give thanks in it. Lord, I thank you. Even though I'm going through this, Can I be honest with you? These last 6 weeks, man, I tell you what, I'm not going to go in details because this is being recorded, but these last 6 weeks, I have been majorly tested. You know, I told you about my medical procedure that I chose to go through. My doctor was saying, you don't need this, Carlos, you're fine. I go, I want to know. I want you to check my heart. Well, because I persisted, and I prayed about it. I said, Lord, you want me to have it? He says, yes. I want you to have it so you can have peace of mind. So I went through this procedure. This procedure had a negative effect on me. And I am telling you, you know, I was in bed for like almost 2 weeks straight. I'm never affected usually that way. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing, Lord? And the Lord began to speak to me through this procedure. He says, I want you to praise me. I am telling you, I couldn't even get out of bed. I was in so much pain. I had an appendicitis bust on me when I was a little boy. That's what it felt like, this pain constantly in the area. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? And I heard the Lord say, praise me in this. And so I began to praise the Lord for about 15 days. I was going through this. And finally, I remember, was watching Kenneth Hagin's teaching on breakthrough and healing. And he just, stretch your hands. And so I stretched my hands. And of course, he's dead now, but I stretched my hands towards that video on the internet. And I got healed. The next morning, I was like, oh my, what a difference. And all of us, I remember they tell me, Carlos, drink a lot of fluids because the medication, the sedation that they put inside of you, you need to flush it out. Well, I didn't really follow through that. So you know what happened? This for about 10 days, I hardly went to the bathroom. I was stuffed. And I'm going through pain. I didn't say word to anybody. Just to Emily, I go, I need a breakthrough. I need a miracle. You know. So when I go, here I am in Ecuador, and I'm preaching, and I'm feeling miserable. But I'm preaching boldly and lay hands on people. So you know what? I just couldn't take it anymore. I go, take me to the emergency room. So they take me to the emergency room, and they do what they call a flushing. I don't want to get in details, but they cleanse me out. But I'll tell you, it was the most humiliating experience of my life. I have never been so humiliated in all my life. Here's a great preacher from America, laying on a table, half naked, and this nurse that I have no clue who she is fixing me up. But I remember, I'm laying there, I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I can't believe that I am going through this. Why, God? And I heard the Lord say this, will you praise me now? I said, yes, Lord, I'll praise you right now. And I laid there in that bed thinking, Ramosha, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you because once I get done with this procedure, I'm going to be fine. I'll tell you one thing. I'm fine right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you know what, God? God teaches you to praise Him even in the most humbling situations. What are you going to do? Are you going to complain and murmur, say, this is not right? You know, this shouldn't be happening to me, Lord. But I'll tell you what, I'm telling you what, I felt the joy of the Lord as I laid on that table and that lady was working on my butt. I mean, I felt the joy of the Lord. I,
I'm telling you the truth. I felt the strength of God and the joy of the Lord. I began to praise Him and hallelujah, because I knew in a few minutes I was getting delivered. And I sure did. We're going to scratch that off the CD. Look at the notes. Acts 4, verse 10. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, by Him, this man stands here before you whole. Do you see that? It's in the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is what brings us, stirs our faith. Our faith is produced. Now let me tell you something so powerful about the name of the Lord that so many have very little understanding to. Turn the page over if you will. Let me show you something about the name of Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord makes us whole. It's very clear in Scripture that Jesus, His name is all powerful because we see in Philippians chapter 2, there in your notes, God has highly exalted Him, meaning Jesus, and given Him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, look at that, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That means every spirit of sickness, every spirit of bondage, whatever it is you're dealing with, that spirit has to bow to the name of Jesus, of those in heaven, those on the earth, those under the earth, and every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, I don't have time to actually go through Mark chapter 5, but you know the story, the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible is very, very clear that this woman got a healing and a breakthrough because she put faith in Him. Watch this. Look at your notes there. I would encourage you to read that entire episode, the woman with the issue of blood. Look what it says. When she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus. Look what happened. When she heard about Jesus, it provoked her to press through the crowd and to press through for her healing. She was unclean. She had no right to be in public, let alone touch a man of God. But you know what? She was stirred in her faith because she heard. My question is this. What did she hear about Jesus? What did she hear about Jesus that provoked her to go out in public having a female issue of blood running and just hemorrhaging? What would provoke her to actually press through? What did she hear? She must have heard something about the name of Jesus. You know what she probably heard? I looked up the word heard, and it means this. It means to hear rumor of. Watch this. To hear fame of. She heard rumor of something. She heard fame about what Jesus had been doing. And because she had heard something about Jesus, what she probably heard about Lazarus. She probably heard about, you know, all these other people that were getting healed at Jesus. And when she had the opportunity for Jesus who was coming by, she heard about all the miracles He had done before. Therefore, she says, I'm going to get my touch and my healing. Church, I'm here to tell you that His name, you've heard about His name, and His name is healing. His name is deliverance. His name is restoration. His name is wholeness. His name is freedom. That's the power of the name of Jesus. Now let me show you how if we don't mix faith with the name, we get nothing out of it. This is very, very important because there are many people that have been called Jesus. I mean, there's many. You go to Colombia, there's many Jesuses in Colombia. There's many guys called Jesus in Mexico. Jesus this and Jesus that. So it's not just the name Jesus. It's the person of the name of Jesus Christ. That's where our faith is. Let me show you this. Look at point A. The revelation of Jesus Christ's name. This is powerful. The Son of God and the Son of Man. Who do you say that I am? This was the question Jesus asked His disciples after hearing what the general public was saying about Him and who He was. The disciples gave Him several different answers, but after all the replies, Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am. When it's all said and done, guys, the question is this. Who is Jesus Christ to you? That's the bottom line. It can't be who is Jesus to PC, or who is Jesus to Pastor George, who is Jesus to Enrique or anybody else, who is Jesus to Jared. No. The question is, who is Jesus Christ to you? If you just believe that Jesus is your Savior, well, then you'll definitely experience salvation. But if you don't have faith in Jesus, the Deliverer, you're going to live in bondage. Hello? If you don't believe in Jesus as a healer, you'll struggle with sickness. We've got to understand the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus, but Jesus Christ. Let's look at this. Here's what Peter said. Peter said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Now, we already explained what Christ means, the anointed one. So in other words, Jesus was the anointed one. All these other Jesuses in all these South American countries, they have an anointing through Jesus if they're saved, but they're not the anointed one. There's only one anointed one. Let's build on this a little bit. You're going to get something out of this. Look at point B. Unless we have a personal revelation of who Christ is, we cannot fully receive the full benefits of our redemption that He's paid for us on the cross. If we see Jesus as only an anointed teacher, a prophetic voice, or just a good man of God, a just man of God, then we will never be able to receive by faith all that He has given to us as the Son of God. Now watch this. Matthew 13:58. He did not do many mighty works among them or there because of their unbelief. He could not do mighty works there because of his unbelief. Where is the there? Anybody know where the there is? Nazareth. Jesus could not do many powerful miracles in Nazareth. You want to know why? Because they were familiar with him. Now watch this. Watch this. They were familiar. Oh, it's just Jesus. Watch this. Look at your notes. Those, point C, those who were from Jesus' hometown of Nazareth could not see beyond his humanity. And therefore, they were not able to see him as the Son of God. Why? Because they knew him as the Son of Mary. And they just knew him as a carpenter's son. They knew him as the one who, as a child, played with the neighborhood children. And they were not able to accept his claim of being the anointed one, whom God had sent into the world as their Messiah. Watch this. They simply knew him as Jesus of Nazareth instead of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do you see the difference? They just knew him as Jesus. We know who he is. And look what the Bible says. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And aren't his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? If you read that entire passage and the one in Mark, you will see that they could not receive healing, major breakthroughs, because they saw him as just Jesus of Nazareth. He's more than just Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Are you getting what I'm saying to you here today? You have a right to breakthrough because his name is Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. The church can only be built by the spirit of revelation that clearly teaches us that the greatness and majesty of the anointed Son of God is also the Son of David and the Son of Man. And Jesus said this, "I say to you, Peter, on this rock," what rock? The rock of revelation. On this rock, the rock of revelation. Because Peter just said, "You are the Christ, the anointed one." And then Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has shown this to you." And then he says, "On this rock," in other words, the rock of revelation, "on the rock of revelation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Do you see that the power of binding and loosing, the power of overcoming hell, is all connected to understanding and seeing that He is Jesus the Christ. That's how the church overcomes. That's how you overcome. And that's how you're going to be able to overcome and resist all darkness. If I can have the worship team come up here. In closing, look at point number three there, the last page of your notes. Well, let's look at point number one. D1. The church can only be built on the cornerstone of truth. Only the truth of Jesus' identity will help the church to be established. That's verse 18 of Matthew 16. Number two, the powers of hell will not be able to defeat the believer whose life is established in the identity of Jesus Christ. That's the truth, guys. That doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to attack you, resist you, but it does mean that you have a bigger punch. Amen? Number three, spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is given to the church to both bind and to loose so that we can have our lives established on the revelation of the Son of God. Do you see that the authority in prayer to bind and loose is all connected to our ability to get revelation of the all-powerful name of Jesus? If it's just a name by which I got saved. You know, I've been asking the Lord, why is it that some people get healed and they lose their healing? And you know what the Lord began to show me? The Lord began to show me it's because they're not established in their inheritance. How do I know that? Because the Bible says this. I wish above all things you will prosper even as your soul prospers. Watch this. If you want, I pray. John says, I pray that you prosper in every area of your life according to how your soul prospers. The soul is a mind-souled intellect. And if we are not feeding, if we're not building ourselves in faith, then the enemy is going to come and steal what God gave us in His mercy because we don't have faith to maintain what's ours. Are you hearing me? Let me give you another one. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Watch this, church. Psalm 103, look at verse 1. I know that there's some of you guys here that have maybe been sickness in your body or whatever it may be. But I just want to challenge you to dare to believe in a little bit more. Dare to contend with, stretch forth your faith. I know that sometimes the situations may seem impossible. Let me tell you what happened. I was in Calgary, Canada, a couple months ago, ministry. And I had a word of knowledge for a little boy. I said, there's a little boy here. You have a condition in one of your kidneys. Something's wrong with your kidneys. Well, I felt it. I said, there's a little boy. And there was maybe 60 people in the church building. And it was very small. There were very few little boys. So it was a word of knowledge that I had better be right on. And so I called out, someone. There's a little boy here, a young child, you got something wrong with your kidneys. The Lord wants you to know, God's going to do a miracle. Where are you? You know what happened? Nobody raised their hand, not even the mother. But I felt it. So I come back to Calgary a few months later, and this the same church, and they say, did you hear about the little boy? I go, no, there was no little boy. He goes, the mother of that little boy had just left the building prior to you releasing that word of knowledge. And she said this, I'm her friend. So when I heard that word, I claimed it for her. And I ran outside to tell her that the man of God just released a word of knowledge about a boy's kidneys being healed. Service ended. She didn't have time to come back in. Service ended. So I said, well, what happened? The mother shows up with the little boy. And the mother says to me, when the word was released by you, I received it by faith. I go, what happened? She goes, my son was scheduled for surgery in Guatemala. Because that's where she was from. She goes, my son had to get his kidney replaced. And so there was already a scheduled surgery. So we showed up for the surgery. And so I told the doctor, before you do surgery, I want you to check one more time. Do one more x-ray. Do one more test. And the doctor was like, ma'am, we've done several tests. He he needs a kidney replacement. Do me one more favor. Before you touch my son, check it one more time. Okay, we will. Check them out. The doctor comes back with an x-ray. She goes, I don't understand it. Look at the x-ray. Here was the old x-ray. You see the damage of his kidney. Here's a new x-ray. Your son does not need the surgery anymore. They did not do the surgery. It was an impossible situation. But I'm here to tell you. Press in. Build your faith. Stir your faith. You're going to be the vessel that God's going to use to heal other people. You're going to, perhaps you don't need healing in your body. But you know what? As you build your faith, you're going to build your faith to overcome all forms of resistance. Because the enemy's going to come against you. He comes against us all the time. The Bible says this, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so I'm here to tell you that God is in the healing, deliverance, wholeness business. And he wants to build our faith. He wants to encourage us. And you know, and when I teach on fasting and how fasting, because Jesus says, how be it? Some of these things cannot go except by prayer and fasting. As we learn to feed our faith and stand on faith again, build our faith once again, claim what's rightfully ours, go after it, contend for it. We know that eventually we're going to get healed, and praise God for that. But I believe we have a right to contend for it on this side of eternity. And God is looking for anointed vessels. Stand with me if you will tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sunday morning, I'm going to teach on the fullness of what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, wants to release. Because I'm going to believe for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to break through, not only through the leaders I speak. I want to see the gifts of God break out through you guys. I'm serious. I am believing and I'm fasting that the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to teach a little bit on the gifts of the Spirit of God this coming Sunday, and how we can press in. I'm actually going to teach on it's how to press in until the gifts are released in us. And I'm going to also teach and share with you on Sunday what are the areas, why the gifts and the anointing is actually blocked. It's stuck. It's hindered. We're going to have a breakthrough on Sunday morning. We're going to have people broke. We're going to have actual breakthrough for people to be released in the gifts and the anointing of the Holy Spirit this coming Sunday. Just lift up your hands right now. Let's ask the Lord to stir our faith tonight. Come on, you right where you're at. Ask the Lord. How hungry are you? How desperate are you? How much do you want the Lord to break? I want our ministry team to get ready, to come down. I want Jerry to get ready and Sarah to get ready and Lewis to get ready. Full-time staff to get ready. We're going to minister tonight to people. I really believe that tonight the Lord is saying, I am going to release a revelation of faith in your hearts. All the Lord says, stand with me because I stand by you. And I want to bring breakthrough in every area of your life, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Every area of our lives. As we learn to be content with the things we have, as we learn to be content in the place that we find ourselves, having food and raiment, or food and clothing, says Paul. Having food and raiment, let us be content. Let us be content with the things that God has given to us. Let's not distress our hearts over what we don't have, or over what we wish we could have. For all these things will pass away, says the Lord. All these things are here today but gone tomorrow. But your faith will endure forever. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, the Bible says. Holy Spirit, here we are. Including myself, stir my faith. Deeper, God. Deeper, God. We want more, Lord God. We want to contend for breakthrough. We believe, Lord God, that you are about to release another great awakening in our land. And you're looking for vessels that are going to stand in faith and believe, Lord. You're looking for men and women, young and old alike. You're looking for sons and daughters who are sons of Abraham, You're looking for sons and daughters of the covenant who will learn what their rightful inheritance is, claim it, and walk it out. Oh, the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. Release the spirit of violent faith over us, I pray, O Holy Spirit. Tonight, release a violent spirit of faith that we will contend until we get breakthroughs, God. In every area of our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your hands and worship the Lord tonight.